We learned a lot about the history of ornithology in our first hour of the show today, and maybe it got you excited about going out to see some birds. You'll want to stay tuned here. Larry Mueller, glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. The Great Wisconsin Birdathon is coming up in May, and we're going to learn about it, what it is, how you can get involved. Carl Schwartz, with me by phone, is the president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, also serves on the Great Wisconsin Birdathon Committee of the Natural Resources Foundation, and is the coordinator of Bird City, Wisconsin. Carl, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks, Larry, for letting me be on the show today.
I really appreciate it. Andy Polias, with me in the studio, coordinates the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. He's a biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Andy, good to see you again. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, glad to be here, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. And Andy, to start with you, tell us about the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. What are the goals?
Yeah, well, the goals are to get as many people out there in Wisconsin engaged in our natural world, watching birds, having fun, and raising money for really important conservation programs, both locally in your bird city, for example, or at your local refuge, and then for these statewide programs that help birds year-round.
Yeah, and again, Carl, when does that take place?
The whole month of May. Every day in May is a good day to be out birding in Wisconsin, and hopefully the weather will cooperate a little bit more for us, and we'll have lots of birds to count and to tally up and get people to pledge money toward the number of birds that the various teams see. We had 155 birders last year involved, and together they collected almost $55,000 from over 800 donors. So we're aiming for $75,000 this year. And as Andy mentioned, that money goes to support citizen science efforts, Kirtland's warbler monitoring, important bird areas, the whooping crane reintroduction program, my own program, Bird City, Wisconsin, and something that's starting next year will be launching field work for the second Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas. So all these are things that will benefit from people's pledges if they simply go online and take a look at wibirdathon.org. That's the Great Wisconsin Birdathon website.
I think we also have a connection, too, at our a link on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show as well. So if you didn't get that down, always go there. If you happen to be there, just click on it, and you're right there at wibirdathon.org.
Yep.
Got that? I've got that right? Okay. So now, are there kind of specific areas where this takes place, or is it the place?
Yeah, it's all over. We have, and then there's just many different ways to participate in the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. We have a new program this year called the Oriole Count. Your good friend, your late friend Noel Cutright, Larry, had this idea to get the kids of Wisconsin engaged in counting one of our most colorful neotropical migrants, the Baltimore Oriole, and so. Partly in his honor and partly just because it was a good idea, we have a special project for the Birdathon this year called the Great Oriole Count. And we were hoping that we already have more than 35 teams from schools and nature centers all over the state participating. And the first 60 that sign up get a free oriole feeder from the Natural Resources Foundation and WSO. So there's an extra incentive to sign up for that. And it also... two winning teams each get an $1,100 worth of optics from Eagle Optics. Very, very generous donation from them. So pledging to that, taking part in that, setting up an Oriole counting team is a great way to be part of the Birdathon this year. Plus, there's all sorts of signature teams to pledge to. Bill Miller's is doing his long walk for birds. Again, although he's enlisting a bunch of supporters this year, and instead of walking east to west, we're walking south to north this year, up the Lake Michigan shoreline from the Illinois state line all the way up to Michigan. So there's some really great things. And there are also all sorts of birding blitz field trips you can sign up for, and by participating in those, pledge some money to help the Birdathon as well.
So, yeah. Andy, do you get involved in those blitzes?
Yeah, I mean, there's really no excuse not to go birding in May, right, Larry?
No.
That's what I tell my wife every day. But, yeah, there's great birding blitz field trips. I have one with my coworker Mike Foy down to the Avon Bottoms. I think that one's full, but there are a lot of spaces available on some of the other trips, including some great places up on the Lake Superior, the North Shore of Lake Superior. You know, eventually they won't have 18 inches of snow on the ground, so it'll be a great place to look at birds. And really the great thing about the Birdathon and the great thing about Wisconsin is you can watch birds anywhere. And so you can form a local team to really highlight your local organization's efforts or your local refuge or even your local park. So,
yeah, we had somebody call from central Wisconsin who said they'd already seen a Phoebe and a Towhee had come through. So,
I had Towhees in my yard the last two mornings. So, definitely back. Brown creepers on the trees outside my window. And, so the birds are making a return.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. I actually happened to be out with my daughter last Saturday morning for about 4 hours. We had from about 5:30 or 6 in the morning, 5:30 I think in the morning until about 10. And just the bird songs that were going on in Iowa County were just fabulous. It was so much fun to sit and listen to those songs.
Yeah, the Cardinals are on high octane right now.
Are they ever?
Nuthatches, chickadees, all the permanent residents, but now all the cranes and stuff are back, and marshes right now are a really good place to be if you want to just get overwhelmed with songs.
Jeff and Madison emailed to say that last Saturday was the annual crane count, of course, and for 2 hours of counting in Adams County near Rome, we saw over 300 sandhills.
Wow.
Yeah, many tundra swan, 4 eagles, 1 osprey, and 9 hoopers, hooping cranes. Quite
wow.
The morning.
Well, you know, when the Fish and Wildlife Service announced a couple weeks ago that Wisconsin had the second highest population or percentage of birders of any state in the country, Ryan Brady with the DNR issued a statement saying, well, it's partly because there are so many great birders in the state, but it's also because there are lots of great birds in the state. Wisconsin's blessed. I mean, in the course of a year, there are birders that see over 300 different species in the state, and the state list has more than 400 species possible. So, it's a great state to go birding in, and that's why I think the idea of a Birdathon works so well, because there's this strong history of conservation, strong history of birding, and great birds to go out and see and count. So it's a good idea.
Not going to get any arguments here. You can join in, by the way, if you have a question or comment. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Get you on pretty quickly. We talk birds today in the Great Wisconsin Birdathon with our two guests, Carl Schwartz. Carl's president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology. Andy Apollius coordinates the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative, and is a biologist with the Wisconsin DNR. Appreciate having them both with us. Again, join in with your own questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Andy, I mentioned you coordinate the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. Talk a little more about that, and why are these so important?
Yeah, so WBSI is our acronym, because the other thing is way too much of a mouthful, but WBSI is sort of a partnership of almost 180 different groups now across the state.
Wow.
NGOs, bird clubs, businesses, agencies, and basically the easiest way to describe it is it's a forum for getting people and groups and organizations together that love birds, that care about birds, and they come up with great ideas like the Bird City program or the Birdathon. And sort of working together, we get a lot more accomplished, and we sort of pool our resources to do great things for birds.
And Carl was talking, Carl, you mentioned a contest and the winner. I was a little remiss in not following up on that and said, how do you be a winner?
Well, in this for this Oriole count, Eagle Optics was kind enough to make this very generous donation of these two birding kits, and they're basically five sets of binoculars and a spotting scope, and a total value of about $1,100. And they put together two of these kits. One of them will go to the Oriole team, the Oriole counting team, that raises the most money, because it is a birdathon, and that's the idea. But the other, because the Oriole count was designed as an educational event, the other prize will go just to a randomly selected team, simply for participating as an educational activity for students or young people involved in this. And this is, this is just to help fulfill Noel's vision that there's 470,000 Baltimore Orioles. That are in Wisconsin at some point during the coming year, and so it's an easily identifiable species. It's a neotropical migrant, so it spends just its summers here. It winters far south of us in the tropics. So it's a great way to teach about migration and conservation and bird identification and field counting techniques, and all of this is spelled out on the Oriole page. At the Great Wisconsin Birdathon website, so it's easy to sign up. I'm hoping that today's show will drive a few more schools or teachers or scouts or 4-H or nature clubs to sign up and help us give away all 60 of those Oriole feeders that WSO and Wild Birds Unlimited and Mequon put together. To mail out to the first 60 that sign up.
Yeah, that is the first 60 schools that sign up, or the first 60?
First 60 teams. They can be schools or nature centers or 4-H groups, any sort of group that wants to field a team and count Orioles for this. And we hope to compile all that data and figure out a way to make some sense of it and see if we can even plot it into eBird and do as much educational value as we can out of this effort.
Yeah, for sure. I want to, by the way, we'll put a direct link to that Oriole page up on my Facebook page, too. So we'll have a direct link there at the Larry Mueller Show. I'm interested in, we have some callers online, and maybe I should take this one. Marcus says, because it relates to Orioles, what is what we've been talking about. So let's go to Marcus in Green Bay. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was just curious if Orioles reuse their nests year after year.
Let me defer to Andy. Andy's the biologist in the group here.
Yeah. So the nests are constructed so well. You'll see them out on the ends of these big old cottonwoods or oak trees that are out over a river, out over the open. They're constructed so well, so they last long enough that it makes us ask the question, will they reuse them again? But they really don't. They'll rebuild a new nest, but they'll often use the same tree. So if you if you drive around in the winter and you see the nests, you can kind of keep those in your mind. You can probably figure out where she's going to nest or another female would nest the next year.
We had that issue. We had that at our lake home where we had an Oriole in our birch tree that... And it's amazing how sturdily those nests are constructed. I mean, all through the winter, that thing survived all through the winter and into next spring, and it was still up there.
Yeah, and you can see why they do it. It's just brilliant. I mean, there's so few predators that can crawl out on the very end of a little tiny twig and somehow get to that nest. So they're an engineering marvel.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Marcus, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, appreciate your call very much. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Let's talk about, so this goes on the whole month. Kind of what are the logistics of this, I mean, if you're going to get involved?
Yeah, so the first thing you want to do is go onto the webpage, and the team at the Natural Resources Foundation has made it really easy to start your own team. You get your own web page that you can kind of manipulate and add pictures and, you know, write a personal message to your donors, your potential donors. And then you just pick a good day in May where it's going to be a nice day to be outside and see as many birds as you can. The website allows you to use all of the fancy social networking tools to talk to your Facebook friends or your Twitter followers or your mom, and by email. So, and then the great thing about the website is we heard from a lot of people that just going out and getting pledge sheets is a lot of work, you know. And some people are a little bit leery about doing that, but the website does it all for you, so they can donate by credit card right online, and you don't have to do any of the sort of physical work of knocking on doors and that sort of stuff. You can still do that if you want, and they provide that sort of resources. But so it's really about as easy and convenient as you can imagine.
Yeah, so. It's just a whole lot easier. And frankly, it's easier for the people who are giving, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to be able to...
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And the website's very intuitive. I mean, you can just... You know, there's just big, big green and yellow and orange and purple buttons to click on, and it'll just walk you right through the steps. Whether you're joining the Oriole Count or the Long Walk for Birds or starting your own team or joining a team, you can scroll through and see whether you know somebody you already know already has set up a team and you want to participate with them, or whether you just want to donate. There's a separate. All the yellow buttons are for donating to someone you know, or donating to your favorite team, or donating to a signature team, and that was my way of getting in another plug for my signature team, which is in another homage to the late Dr. Cutright. Cutright's old Coots. Last
I like the
year,
name.
Last year we were Hawkeye in the Ancient Murelets, but we lost our Hawkeye, and we lost one of our ancients when Noel died. So we've reconstituted the team as Cutright's old Coots, and we're out beating the bushes not only for pledges but for birds. And so you could go right on the Friends of Noel could go on the site right today and pledge to Cutright's old Coots. So.
I think I'll do that myself, as a matter of fact, when I get done. I think Judith says me too.
We'd be pleased to have you do so. We were the top team 2 years ago. We had 162 species, and I think we inspired some of the younger birders, the Polios generation to go out and work even harder than we did, and I think last year's winner was up in the 180s.
So
we got our work cut out for us.
Georgia in Madison has a question. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Larry. I'm kind of a lazy birder, so I like to watch the birds as they come to the bird feeder in my backyard.
Yep.
That's always good.
What would be the best seed to put out right now to attract a variety of birds?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so right now is we're sort of getting on to the tail end of like the good. Actually, we're right in the middle, towards the end of when like the juncos and some of the wintering birds are still around. But there's a lot of sparrows and towhees. Carl mentioned he had a towhee in his yard this week that are going to come through, fox sparrows and then white-throated sparrows. So right now, if you want to feed seeds, you can always put seeds up in your feeder, and chickadees and nuthatches will like it. But it's also not a bad idea that you can even buy sort of the mixed seed that has a little bit of everything in it, and scatter that a little bit in the ground or around a brush pile or something to attract those, we call them the kick scratchers. A lot of those birds sort of kick and scratch with 2 feet and... So then in another couple of weeks, you know, a lot of the seed eaters are moving on, and I would sort of shift towards fruit and nectar. So get your Oriole feeders out here in a couple of weeks and your hummingbird feeder and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for calling. And let's see, if you're in the Madison, you're in the Madison area, Georgia. Yep. We get the first Oriole usually on right at May 4th. Right at May 4th is usually when I see the first one.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'll watch out for it.
Yeah, we always tell people anytime after May 1st, be ready to spot Orioles. I think they were at my feeders on May 2nd last year, a little closer over here near Lake Michigan, so they come right up the lake.
Oh, and it's so much fun. It is so much fun to have those birds. out. And I want to just go back over again here before we run out of time. And just we're talking here about the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. And you can participate. You can be a member, or you can join a team, or start your own team. Or if you don't want to be a teammate or don't want to be on a team, you can still donate. And, Andy, what about that?
Yeah, and most importantly, Larry, you got to have a good team name. So you really got to – you should walk around just generating team names in your head. So far the winner this year are the Titmouse Cateers. So I'm expecting people out there to up their game a little bit on the team names.
Well, I don't mind Cutride's old coots either.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
And I'd use this as a chance to there are now 81 Bird City communities in the state, and if any of you folks are out there involved in a Bird City, we have I think about 10 teams already from Bird Cities, but we could use a few more, and it's a great way for Bird City communities to not only raise money for the Great Wisconsin Birdathon for statewide bird protection efforts, but they share in the money raised, and several of them are using it to support their own local bird conservation efforts. So, Bird City teams take special note. There's a special button for you to push.
On Okay, Carl, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and Andy, thank you so much. I want to tell people, go to wibirdathon.org. That's the site. Or just go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can click on the site there and get involved in the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. Carl Schwartz, president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, and biologist Andy Paulus, who is biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.